Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited about tonight. We are doing something totally unorthodox, and we are doing something totally different on tonight. This is not something that you're used to. This is not a platform we normally do on Processing the Pain. At one point, I've had a couple of shows under the MCD Network umbrella where we had a show, Woman to Woman. We had a show, He Say, She Say. And these shows were platform-type shows. What do you mean, Coach D? Platform-type shows are shows where we encourage the audience to participate. And so tonight, I'm encouraging the audience to participate in the discussion on tonight. Instead of just, you're not going to, if you're sitting back waiting to get fed, guess what? You're going to leave out hungry. You're going to leave out starving on tonight if you're just sitting back waiting to get fed. But if you're sitting and you're wanting answers and you're waiting for information, then that's something different, because tonight is going to be an open discussion about information, and I think it's going to be something that we all can relate to, because we all have been, we have been caught up in assignments and attachments. And that's really what tonight's show is about, assignments versus attachment. Do we know the difference? Do we know when something, you know, when something was supposed to be an assignment, was something that you were, somebody you were supposed to minister to, somebody you were supposed to lead in the right direction, or somebody that you were supposed to lead to God, and the next thing you know, it turned into an attachment. And that's not just in female-male relationships of intimacy, but it could be friendship that we attach ourselves to. It could be jobs that we attach ourselves to. There's so many different things that we could attach our things to, attach ourselves to, that we should have never been attached to. So we have a special guest on tonight. Again, if you're waiting to hear a sermon, this is not that night. But if you're waiting to get some good information, if you're waiting to ask questions, if you're waiting to participate and give your input on tonight's subject matter, then this is the perfect show for you. If you know others that's dealing with mixing up assignments with attachments, then you need to let them know they need to be on this show on tonight, because I believe that this show is going to be hot. I believe that it's going to be informative, and I believe that it's going to be something different and unorthodox. So, again, if you're waiting to get a sermon, if you're waiting to be ministered to in that sense, then, again, tonight would not be that night. So, without further ado, I want to introduce my guest to some and present to others. And Apostle Ronald Brumby, but for tonight he wants to just be Ronald Brumby. He just wants to be Ronald Brumby. This gentleman I have been knowing for probably over 15 years. I would say that he is a dear friend of mine. And he's been on the show a couple of times as a guest. We've done some projects together. We actually tried to get He Say, She Say, which was a talk show off the ground, and we just it was just in a season when things were going on with COVID, the onset of COVID, and just different things going on, so we didn't get it going. He's no stranger to the MCB network. Amen. Sorry about that distraction. So without further ado, Ronald, are you in the studio? Let's see if he's in. If we can find him in the studio on tonight.
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Well, you know I'm not you family. I often tell people who are my family that come and visit, the first time they come and visit me, I'll serve them. I'll go get their water. I'll fix their plate. But then after the third, fourth, fifth time, no, you know where the kitchen is. So. with that being said, my dear friend, I'm not gonna serve you. You are here, and I'm welcoming you into our studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you for having me again. It's an honor and a privilege to get to chop it up with you and the MCD crew and all the folks listening in that support the ministries that are represented. We bless God on tonight, and we look for him to have his way as always.
Amen. Amen. So I'm excited, and I just want to let the audience know again, this is a discussion. We are looking for audience participation. If you are listening through the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/MCD, that's great, but you cannot participate from there. And if you would like to participate, if you would like to ask those hard questions, if you would like to present a comment, if you want to know some stuff that we just not talked about in church, then tonight is that night. Amen. So I would say that this is for a mature audience, not that we will ever get out of order with God. But I'm just saying, this is going to be those, we're going to be talking about some things tonight. We're going to get to the nitty-gritty. So if you're listening in through the website, you need to call in. That call-in number is 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. If you have a question on tonight, and we want your question, not just questions, maybe what we're talking about, maybe you don't agree with, or maybe you have something to add to it. We want that as well. And how you do that is by dialing 1 on your dial pad. When you dial 1 on your dial pad, that lets our team know that you have a question or a comment. And then we'll let you, we'll bring you into the live audience. Again, this is a discussion, and I'm excited. Ronald, I am excited to that just where God is going to take us to. So if you don't mind, Apostle, if you don't mind, I want to just kind of lay a foundation because we're going to go somewhere. But I wanted to share some things because as we were studying and we're all all over the place. And as you see on the message, it says when the butterfly turns out to be a moth. And so when as we study, we realize that even though we're saying butterfly and moth, that's really assignment versus attachment. And so I thought it was really what I thought was interesting is that a moth is nocturnal. And if you don't know what that means, that means they're night. They're at night. But what made it more interesting is that a moth is drawn to light. And if you ever been outside at night, I mean, especially in country like I am, I'm in Houston, Texas. We got those hot summer nights, the humid nights. And if you're ever outside, you'll notice that Texans or Houstonians, they will sit outside in the dark. Because when you cut on the light, it don't just draw moths, but it draw all kind of bugs. All kind of bugs, they're drawn to the light, right? But moths particularly, what came to mind is because moths, when you look at a moth is not attractive at all. You know, when you think about a moth, it's not attractive at all. I started kind of reading some things about moths and found out that moths will intake, when they're in that cocoon, they intake feces, they intake dirt, they take twigs. They do all of that to camouflage themselves from the predators. So they take in all the garbage to change their color. So when they come out, that's why moths are normally brown or kind of grayish in color, almost look like, you know, maybe in coloring like a bat. So they're nasty, so to say. When you think, you know, when somebody see a moth, they're squishing it and they're running from it. But when people see a butterfly, they're normally holding their hand up or they think about the beauty of it. So I just want to lay that foundation that as we start this journey on tonight to see where God really wants us to go, I wanted to lay that. So before we go any further, I'm going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to, man of God, I'm going to step back and kind of let you start, and then we will get this discussion going. And so, Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We are excited. We are super excited about all that you're going to reveal on us tonight. Father God, we want to make this a safe place for safe discussion, Father. Father God, we want to know what we are assigned to and what we are attached to, Father God. Father God, we want to know what your purpose and your plan is for our lives. We don't want to keep making the same mistakes, Father God, and expecting different results, Father God, because your word says that's insanity, and we don't want to be insane. So, Father God, we welcome you in the studio on tonight. We pray that you will have your way. I pray, Father God, that you will use the man of God to give some revelation knowledge on tonight. I pray for the listening audience, Father God, that the fears, those fears that keep us from asking the right questions, Father God, the fear that keeps us from sharing knowledge, Father, we rebuke and bind those fears right now in the name of Jesus, for your word tells us that you did not give us a spirit of fear. So, Father God, we will operate in the strength, in the power that you have given us, Lord, that we will ask the right questions, Father God, that we will share humbly as you have given to us, Father, in our spirit. And Father God, that tonight won't just be another talk show night, but Father God, some of us will walk away from here on tonight with a better sense of purpose, with a better sense of where we are to be. And Father God, that we will know that everything that's drawn to us is not necessarily your purpose for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So man of God, take the mic. And we're going to get into this discussion.
Hey, amen. It's kind of like you were saying and breaking it all down. We look at moths, and most of the time they're not attractive. they're brown, they're hairy. We look at butterflies and they're clean and they're colorful. And in most cases, if we look at it from a spiritual aspect in dealing with a natural thing, is what we're doing, we have to understand and get the understanding that everything that looks good is not good. And everything that looks bad does not mean that it's not good. We get caught up and like we were saying, you got this light that's supposed to be, when you call yourself a child of God or if you or Yahweh or whatever name you use for him, when you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you talk about you are trying to emulate and live the life as Jesus or Yahshua lived and get left the exampleships. We become the light that sometimes that's all most people see is you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got people that are not Bible scholars that are not, for whatever reason, besides COVID, because some people wasn't attending services before COVID, so they don't have access, or they've been church hurt, or whatever the case may be, they've been hurt by somebody in the church, even in relationship, friendship, minister to congregant. They've been hurt by mm-hmm. somebody, and they just stopped coming and stopped going. And, you know, when you look at attractions, a lot of people are attracted to that person's anointing.
Mm.
Because the Bible says that the anointing draws. The anointing is beautiful. So when you get past, if you haven't gotten past physical looks and body parts to see the anointing, you're going to be just like a person that's attracted to a moth. Because all you're looking at is the physical. And like you said, you know, a lot of times a moth is in the dark and people, like you said, don't turn their lights on because that attracts the bugs, the moths, the other types of insects. And so you kind of dim your light to be more attractive to a person. Because a lot of people are afraid of those who are highly anointed. Are those who are, quote unquote, in ministry, preachers, pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, intercessors, seers. You know, when they see and they hear who you are by title, they automatically take a step back because that's a lot of responsibility. And as leaders, we tend to turn down our light so we don't overpower people or intimidate people or scare people away. Especially when you are a single man or woman in ministry that's trying to find or be found.
Yes.
So when you look at it, when you look at the two, when you look at a butterfly and you look at a moth, they share some common traits, right? For example, they both have wings, so that makes them exoskeleton. They both have three-parted segmented body. They got three pairs of legs, and they got one pair of antennae. So they basically are part of the same family, but look different. So you could have, in your natural family, one person may look like the mother, the other child look like the daddy. Or the other child, one looked like the grandmother and one looked like somebody else. But they still in the same family. But a moth gets such a bad name because of what it looks like. So even when we're dealing with people, we'll say, this ain't who God has for me because of what they look like. And sometimes because he is who he is, all-knowing, all-seeing, the moth is really for you. But you give it, him or her a bad rap because you're not physically attracted to him. But when we get beyond physicalness and begin to look at the light, and we begin to look at their character and their work ethic in ministry or in life, then we'll see them, we should see them differently. But a lot of us have scales over our eyes, if I just be honest.
Wow.
We fly
so
blind.
This went.
Go ahead.
Yes, that's good. No, that's good because this went in a totally different direction, but it's a great direction. And thank you, Holy Spirit, because you know how we could – that, and it's funny because what we're talking about in the direction that this went is exactly what I kind of what I was doing, because I had a preconceived idea of the direction that this was going to go in, and this went in a totally different direction, and I liked it because the direction it went into is like you're saying is what we're attracted to, and we put so much value on the outer appearance, and then. And we think about it, let me just say this, and this is a fact. This is not just Coach D saying something, but in the body, there's more, the divorce rate is higher in the church than it is in the secular. And so I say that because what you're just saying right now is that we are so attracted, we are so drawn to the butterflies in life, that we overlook the moth, and generally, like you said, they both fly. They're very close. They're in the same family, so to say. And when I think about what this was telling us about some of the things that a moth does, as far as you know what they do to camouflage themselves to protect themselves from predators, as you were speaking, what came to mind is, when we think about the things they do, it brought to mind people, people go through things in life. You know, people's been to prison, people's been in drugs, people been prostitution, people's been, you know, alcohol, so many different things. People have, been embezzlers, just different choices, life choices that people have done that they've had to pay a price for, you know. People have been through multiple relationships, multiple marriages. You got people that got multiple kids by multiple different men or women. And so they're like the moth. We're looking at them. We're like, you know. But these people, especially if they have not, if they're no longer, especially if they're no longer operating in that same space, but the dirt of it, you know, a moth is no longer operating in feces or twigs, but the residue, the dirt of what he's done has brought about a certain color. His color and all that has to do with how he protected himself. So let's just say, as I'm saying that, let's just say, you know, I'm starving, I'm a mother, I'm a single mother, I got three kids, I can't feed them, and at that point in my life, I didn't know God, I didn't know Jesus, or maybe I heard about him, but I didn't have a personal relationship. So now I'm making choices, I'm doing certain things because all I'm thinking is, I'm in survival mode, and all I'm thinking is I need to feed my children. So I'm going and I'm making choices in survival mode, because I don't know about a savior, right? So I don't know about the savior, but I'm in survival mode, and I'm making choices, life choices, because I'm thinking, all I'm thinking is I got to feed me and my kids. I got to keep a roof over our heads. So I'm making choices. But now, all of a sudden, I have a Paul experience, and now I find out about this savior, right? And so now I'm turning my life around, but now I'm an ex-felon. Maybe I, in the midst of me doing whatever it was I'm doing, I didn't caught something that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. So now do I have to be the moth because I'm a felon? Do I have to be the moth because maybe I've caught, you know, maybe some disease or disorder? Do I have to continue to be the moth? Am I going to be looked at as the moth because of my past? Ooh. Let me step back.
Can I interject something right there?
Yeah.
Now, I want you to visualize this, right? A moth is dull colored. They're usually brown or gray. And the reason that they're brown or gray, because it has a reason. Everything has a purpose. The reason a moth is brown or gray, it helps to hide while resting during the day. That's why you see them mainly at night, is because they rest during the day. Butterflies are brightly colored, can attract mates, help to blend in with flowers, can sometimes warn predators to stay away. Right? That's the characteristics of both of those. Now, let's get to the nit and to the grit, and then we can open it up. When it comes to choosing a mate, watch this. A butterfly uses sight to select a mate. A moth uses scent to select a mate. So now I'm going to flip it, right? Let me flip it real fast. If I use sight to select a mate as a butterfly, I'm definitely more likely going to look for another butterfly because it's attractive. If I'm using scent, like a moth uses scent, then I'm looking for a certain aroma, a certain smell that only can come if I'm looking with, if I'm searching and feeling through Christ, then I'm looking for the scent of the anointing versus looking at the attributes of the person physically. So while we yet say we don't want to be a moth because of the ugliness of a moth, if we tell the truth, because when you were just describing, I'm that person, multiple marriage, multiple children by different women, been in trouble with the law, you know, I made some bad decisions in life. So I'm the moth. But thanks to the Lord that I serve, the God that I serve, he can take my beauty for ashes.
Yeah.
So everything that I went through in life, he can make it beautiful. But if all I'm doing is looking like a butterfly is looking by sight and never exercise faith, then I'm looking for stuff always in the natural. So when it comes to the attraction versus the attachment, I'm always going to go for the attraction and the attachment, not the assignment, because I'm not looking to be a person that helps another person spiritually grow, because my motive is to find somebody for me because I'm single. Like you said, I'm a single woman with three kids, trying to feed them, trying to survive. So I'm looking for husband. I ain't looking for kingdom husband. I ain't necessarily looking for a totally spiritual one. And people compromise. As long as she go to church, as long as she know God. Well, okay, let me just slap everybody in the face, including myself. We all know God because we know who he is. But do we have an intimate relationship with God where we become who he is? I'll back up. So if you want to open the floor for people, they comment and get in this conversation, because it's really a lot to it.
We will. I'm going to take the opportunity right now for those who are listening in live in the studio. This is the time we're going to open up. So if you have a comment to what you've heard so far, or you have a question, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you into this discussion. Again, this is not a sermon. If you're looking to come here to get, you know, to get a sermon, you know, that's not going to happen on tonight. We're talking about some real stuff. There are a lot of us listening in that there are some of us that's listening in that we're married, and that's a great thing. And this is not just about singles, because even what we're speaking about could be translated into business partners. We marry in multiple situations. We marry in business. We'll partner with people. people that ain't on the, that's not equally yoked, that's not on the same page. We get into intimate relationships with people that's not on the same page. We get into friendships with people that's not on the same page. And then when we all of a sudden we find ourselves lost, left, dogged out or whatever you want to call it, and now we upset, we mad at God, we mad at the person, we mad at God, sometimes we mad at ourselves, but we didn't understand, and I think tonight really kind of breaks it down. So again, we looking for discussion. We don't want this to just be about Coach D and Apostle Ronald. We want this to be about discussion, listening in. You don't have to be, let's say, Denise and Ronald, because it ain't about no titles. And I think people get intimidated about titles because they feel like when they hear titles, they feel like, well, they know more than me. Or maybe they, you know, and this is not about that. This is about discussion. This is about asking the right questions to get the right answers so you can make the right choices in life. Amen. So, again, dial one on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. So what we're going to continue to do, Ronald, we're going to continue to talk, and hopefully we're going to pray that people get a spirit of boldness and that they will dial one. We have a full audience on tonight. So there are people here. So we just, you know, we'll see if people have questions and they'll begin to dial one so we can bring them into this discussion. But until then, we're going to keep having discussion. We're not going to stop because it is a great discussion. So we left off, if you want to take us where we left off from.
Well, what you were just saying, relationship is just that. The key word to relationship is to relate. And to in order to relate, you must also be relatable.
Yeah.
So down to earth, humble, those that get you further than trying to be arrogant, pompous, conceited, it's all about me. Because let's keep it 1,000, right? Every common denominator is going to be yourself. So we're teaching, mm-hmm. Cause let me say this too about the what I call the two saved folks, and these are folks that done got delivered from everything that they once were, but don't know how to go back and help somebody else pull out of what they used to be.
Mm.
They won't go get that person, because then I gotta tell them who I was versus who they see today. So now my image is gonna be tainted. So now I look like a butterfly. But I'm really a moth. I'm really a caterpillar.
Mm.
I'm really a lot of different insects that God took and cleaned up and brushed off and gave you a brand new color. This assignment, God said, this person is an assignment. You said, this person is fine. And your plan gonna trump God's plan if you allow flesh to take over. See, that's what I was saying about the eyes, the sight. Butterflies pick a mate by sight. They don't pick a mate by scent or any other thing like a moth does. So if you really think about it, a moth is actually smarter than the butterfly, because the moth is going to use a scent, which is one of the senses, the smell, versus what you do when you look at a person and you more or less look at a person with a lustful eye versus a spiritual eye. Then you try to flip it to the spiritual side after you done got all hot and bothered. Now you all hot and bothered. Now you want to go to God. Lord, is this person supposed to be my wife? Or, Lord, I'm going to make this person my wife. Because we done had people, I done had discussions with people that actually done that. God told them that ain't your husband. God told you that wasn't your wife. The spirit keeps smacking you upside the head. But what do you say? I can change them. I can bring the butterfly out of them. They look dusty, but I'm gonna be Captain Save, and I'm gonna clean them up. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to pour into them. I'm gonna make them who I think they supposed to be, or who I perceive them to be. I ain't prayed over it. I ain't fasted over it, but I'm gonna do me. And in doing you, when it don't work out, who do you blame? You don't blame yourself. You blame them. They ain't doing it. I gave them everything that would make them better. They ain't want to be better. It's always them and never us. We don't never really want to blame ourselves for the failures of relationships. We don't want to say it was our fault that we ended up in divorce court. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't want to look like the ugly mouth. But in the end of that thing is there's beautification in ugliness. Because ugly tell a story. Beauty just give you a visual. And that's like a painting. I can see somebody make do a painting, and the painting is beautiful. But there's a story, and most likely in most artists, there's a pain that pushed them to do that particular painting. You see what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah.
But am I looking at it from the outside? When I'm looking at it from the outside, all I see is a beautiful painting that's hanging in this art gallery. But if I don't go over to the artist who did the painting and ask some specific questions, I won't know the story behind the artwork.
Mm.
So yeah. it becomes where we have to dig deeper within us, and I'm gonna say this, and I know I'm gonna get in trouble, which I'm cool with it because I got thick skin. All of us ain't no blessing to somebody else. That's a false narrative that we create. I'm the blessing. I was the blessing. No, you wasn't. You was actually the curse because you didn't obey God. He told you that wasn't your husband. He told you that wasn't your wife. He told you that wasn't your girlfriend. He told you to teach them. He told you to encourage them, and he told you to minister to them, and you use your gift to seduce.
Wow.
Because they were weak. They knew to the Lord. They knew to the church. They knew to the area. And you looked at them like, ooh, I got to have it. I'm going to have it. So now here come Delilah. And Delilah is not male or female. It's a spirit, a seducing spirit.
Yeah.
We just related to Delilah. Now you're going to use Jezebel too, because now you're going to try to control them through manipulation, because they don't know what you know, the way to go. So he can be glorified, but you say, oh, no, I'm going to make this man, and then we're going to have babies, we're going to have a family, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And God is like, okay, do you, and watch the end result. So when the end result ends in divorce, when the end result's into a bitter breakup, when the end result leads to a scandal, now you want to blame the other person for it all. When God gave the responsibility, let me say this way. The responsibility, when the Lord told you that this was an assignment, everything fell on you because he was trusting you to do the right thing. And the righteous things. Hey, man, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you talk.
Just good. Good. What I want to do just really quick, I'm just going to give a reminder to our listening audience who is listening in intensely. If you have something to share or add to what we are speaking on tonight, again, I encourage you to dial 1 on your dial pad so that we could bring you in. If you have a comment, maybe you have a question, maybe you don't even agree with what we're talking about. Either way, down on your dial pad. I'm giving you guys an opportunity because, again, we want this to be a discussion. And it's good stuff. This is some good information that's going forth. I know in the information that's going forth, it has caused me, there's been some things that you said that's caused me to say, to take a look at that. And it's inspired me, I think tonight, conversation and what we're discussing, I think all of us can relate, even those that have been married, because how many frogs did they have to kiss to get to their prince or princess or their king and queen, So I think all of us can relate. We've all been through the kissing of the frogs, the kissing of the moths, or the kissing of the butterflies, whatever we want to call it on tonight. But one of the things you were saying, you made a valid point about butterflies, their visual, where a moth are more, their central, their by their smell. But then, I don't even know if we could even guide by that because we know that the five senses, period, could be deceiving.
Right.
You know, the five senses could be deceiving because the five senses gets into logic, you know, what's logical. You know, well, logically, this is the, you know, this is purple, so it should smell like grape, you know. logical, and we know that logic is in rebellion to faith, so we know we can't trust our five senses, you know, in anything. We have to really be able to trust our spirit to lead and guide us because, and we do often, that's how we get these attachments because we're operating out of the five senses, you know, what it look like, what it smell like, what it feel like, what it taste like. You know, we know five senses. So immediately, that's the things that kick in. We're a spirit, godly spirit housed in flesh, and the flesh don't know nothing about the spirit, right?
Exactly.
So the flesh knows what it knows. It knows what it likes. Ooh, he looks good. Ooh, he smells good. You know, oh, he feels all of that. And so if we're not feeding our spirit, and that's the thing, if we're not feeding our spirit, then that spirit is not grown, it's stagnant. And that's just like if you take you and you're not feeding your natural body. Let's just say you're not feeding your natural body. After 3 days, you start feeling kind of dizzy. After about 4 days, 5 days, you're feeling weak. You know, and the more you get on with days, the more you begin to deteriorate when you're not
right.
feeding your natural body. Same thing with the spirit man. If I'm not feeding my spirit man, and there's been times that I didn't, and I know the difference because I began to be more drawn by my flesh. So now everything is about what I could see, what I could hear, what I could taste, what I could touch. Everything is drawn by that. And so anytime we're operating out of the five senses, but especially when it comes to relationships, again, I'm not just talking about a man-woman intimate relationship. I'm talking about relationships, friendship, business relationships, you know, any type of relationship that we have. When we operate out of the five senses, then we're always going to risk.
Can I ask you a question?
Always... Sure.
Out of your five senses, which one would you, if, just speaking of five senses, no, I'm going to break it down even further. Just speaking of the two senses that were mentioned, sight versus smell, which one will you trust the most, what you see or what you smell?
If I answered that question honestly, I'm going to say what I see. I mean,
okay, great. No. That's it. What you see. That's your honest answer, what you see, right? Then leave it at that. It's simple, what you see. Now, what you see is, let's say this, what you see is from a distance, right?
Right.
So it looks good to you when you see it. Hold on. Now, when you approach and you begin to smell it, are you still going to be as attracted to it when you saw it from a distance?
I'm going to go by smell. Huh? Ooh, that's a good analogy because if you see something that looks good, but you start smelling it, for example, you see fruit is sitting on the thing, it looks good, but then you start smelling it. If it smells full or, you know, you start looking at it and it's decayed, yeah, if it smells full, I don't care how good it looks, you're not going to mess with it.
Okay, so now check this point out, right, to that, right? So,
yes.
if it begins to stink to you in the natural, you won't touch it. You'll walk away from it, right? Now, if you don't get close enough, and this is in any relationship, and you form a relationship, friendship, business relationship, romantic relationship. And you begin to, you done already been hooked by the look, right?
Right.
And the representative, the colorful one, is all you've seen and got to know. Now that everybody comfortable, here come the real them. And the real them stinks.
Mm-mm-mm.
But they purposely kept the smell away from you because the smell would run you away. The smell of who they really are, they camouflaged. They kept it hidden from you. So now you saying that this business partnership ain't going to be prosperous because now you don't like what you smell. And now you don't really like what you saw because the smell changes the whole thing. That's why when you look at scripture, it talks about the sweet smelling aroma.
Mm.
And everything else that has a bad smell stinks in the nostril of God. So if it stinks to him, it should stink to you when you're in him. But when you're not in him and you just know him, you don't have that type of relationship to discern what stinks and what doesn't by look. Because when the Spirit reveals to you that, hey, that person is funky, their attitude is bad, their character is bad, but all you see is good-looking dress suit, whatever they got on, hair, you ain't listening to the Spirit at that point because the flesh done kicked in overdrive.
Yeah.
And so now you saying, oh, good Lord. Now you like, Lord, I made a mistake. Help me out. How I get out. You know, because, and the reason why I say that, because I don't want to go back to the moth and the caterpillar, right? When you look at caterpillars, a butterfly comes from a caterpillar, and a moth comes from the caterpillar stage. It's called the larva stage. So they're developing on the inside of this caterpillar, right? So let's say both of them burst out at the same time. You're going to be like, ooh, that was colorful and looked good. Ugh, that was dull and gray and brown and ain't got no brightness to it. I'm going for the color. But the Spirit say you need to go for the dull. Because the dull is going to bring you to a place that I need you to be. But you like, nah, the colorful going to take me to a whole nother place.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's going to take you further away from the plan of God. Because now the truth of the matter is, when this happens, we operate in our own plan. And then we want to put God in our plan instead of the other way around. So then we look at it and we be like, oh, well, they look the same because you see caterpillar. And when you see two caterpillars, you will probably automatically think they were the same thing, but they have different body form, but they're still green and they're still slithering on the ground. But you're not looking that closely to notice the difference in body shape of the two. You see what I'm saying? So when you don't look and you don't acknowledge the Spirit, don't acknowledge the Trinity. Let me just say that. Because some people will say they acknowledge one and didn't acknowledge the other two. Well, they all are one, if you think about it. So I didn't acknowledge the Trinity, and now I got this demon that know Bible, but don't live Bible. You feel me? Oh, she know the word, but they ain't living what they know. Now you're entangled. Now you're entangled with this spirit, and you don't know how to break away from it. So you end up staying years and months and days longer than you need to, even after the Spirit tell you how to get out. Some people don't even take the way out because their fear of being back by themselves, single or alone or lonely. Or you fear that since I failed in business with this partnership, everybody gonna look at me as a failure. Or you think because I can't trust ministry now because this particular pastor minister that I felt was supposed to help me end up hurting me. Now, all pastors and ministers and leaders are the same.
Wow. You know,
and some people don't recover from that.
You know, it's and it's just to add to what you just spoke on, because again, we're talking about, you know, what we visualize versus what's intuitive. You know, the visual versus the senses. But mm-hmm. one of the things that I because as you're saying that, I'm like, okay, Lord, why is it just visual that we're looking at? We're using moths and butterflies as examples, and is it just visual? And it is visual because many do not know this. But moths play a vital role in food webs and are important food items for, like, for example, songbirds, mammals, and other insects. But it also said moths are also important for pollinators. They're important pollinators, particularly those mm-hmm. that are active after dark when many other pollinating animals have settled down for the night. It doesn't say anything about what a butterfly adds to. You know, a butterfly is just pretty. It's just pretty. It's pretty. You know, it comes out the cocoon, is pretty, and then it dies. But it's saying that there's some important factors that a moth do, and a moth, like you were saying, in the body structure is a lot more stockier and healthier than the butterfly, who's beautiful. But the moth adds more to our environment other than just beauty. Mm-hmm. The butterfly just adds beauty, and then it dies. So, wow, this is a good lesson. I believe it's a good lesson for us all because so somebody in our audience, I'm getting messages, I'm getting chat messages, and somebody in our audience said that they did in high school, they had to do an essay on moths. I don't know if that person would have enough, courage to share with us. If you did an essay on moths in high school, is there anything that you heard on tonight that we're discussing that we're missing out? Is there any important factors that you may be able to bring up that we missed out as we talk about the moth? And if you are willing to just add in your 2 cents, we would love to hear it. If you are dial one on your dial pad, we'll bring you in. Because if you did an essay, that means you did some intense background on
research, on the
structure of moth. So we'll wait and see if that person pops up to share with us, because if they did an essay, then they know a lot about moth. And in the meantime, we're going to also continue to invite our audience that's listening in. This has been Apostle, this has been a great subject on tonight. I mean, I think it's been great. It's been a lot of meat. I have enjoyed it tremendously. And so much so that I just looked up and realized, man, we're almost come to the end of the show. So audience, man, you guys, you listening into this, and I know I'm not just saying this because I'm participating in it, but you guys are staying on. I know when the numbers drop, and the numbers are not dropping, they're increasing. So that means that people are listening. And if you stayed on this long, that means that there's something that's been said tonight that's speaking to you. There's something that's been said that you're taking mental notes if you're not writing down notes. If you are, and you got questions, or maybe you did an essay on moths, or maybe you did an essay on butterflies. Why are we using animals? Because it's spiritual first, natural second. But there's always, everything on earth is a stereotype of what's in heaven. You know, everything. And so we use these terms, and it's like parables. We know that the word of God, Jesus spoke in parables. Have you ever asked why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did he always do? He did that for understanding. And even then, he said there's people that's not going to get it. Right? Now, correct me, Pat. the apostle, if I'm wrong. He spoke in parables to, for those who belong to him, for them to get it.
No, he spoke in parables for he spoke in parables for illustration. He did it for illustration and understanding. If I draw you just like today, it hasn't changed. If I draw you a picture, because you you look at the picture intently. If I just if I just speak to you, you may not understand what I'm saying. But if I give you a parable, if I give you illustration with the words, you're more likely to perceive, and then you can see what's actually being said. Because when Jesus was speaking a lot of times in parables, he was speaking to a crowd of folks that were both saved and unsaved, or called themselves saved, and a lot of them didn't even know or wasn't allowed to recognize him for who he was because of their nationalities and the times where they were at when he was speaking. They were listening intently, but they weren't grasping what he was saying, so he had to give them illustration of the spiritual versus the natural and the contrast. So when you that was the main reason for speaking in parables. I need you to understand what I'm saying, so let me show you in an illustrated form of what I'm saying. And that's, he does it, honest to God, truth, he still does that today. He just uses the ministry and the people to do it. You don't even have to be a minister to speak to somebody on the street and form a relationship with somebody and give them what God has told you to say to that individual. And y'all, because y'all create friendships. If you, if you're operating like you, like we were saying earlier, if that light is shining before men and they see your good work and you give glory to God for using you, and you remain humble, he'll use you more, and the light will become brighter and brighter. Your circle of influence will grow. But when we don't, and I say we because I'm guilty of it too, we don't always go to God first. We rely on what we know. And what we know may not be good for that relationship or situation. And because we don't acknowledge the Spirit first, we acknowledge the Spirit second, we want the Spirit to play Captain Save Us. Lord, save me from myself. How many times you done heard somebody say, Lord, save me from myself? I mean, it's even a whole number one song to say, deliver me. From who? From me. First, deliver me from me. From what I used to do, how I used to think, how I used to live, how I used to be. Successful relationships on all levels come when people decide to submit themselves and allow God to change them on the inside, and then that begins to show on the outside. But if you keep on wanting to be a person, because a lot of people are comfortable in dysfunction. So when, let me say this too to that. You ever heard people, or have you ever said, for anybody listening, have you ever said that this relationship is too good to be true? Ain't nothing going wrong in this relationship. So in order for me to feel comfortable, I got to create discomfort and discord, because that's what I'm used to. I got to create a situation to make it what I'm comfortable and used to having. I'm not used to too good to be true, because too good to be true actually comes from God. The blessings of the Lord make it rich, and what? It adds no sorrow. That goes for relationships, friendships, business-wise, any type of way. That scripture is not just based on the things that he gives us, because a lot of people think it's things. The blessings of the Lord make it richer, add him no sorrow. So we think, oh, we get a new car, we should be able to pay for it. We get a new house, and he give it to us, he going to make a way for us to pay for it. But that comes with any form of blessing. It make it richer, add him no sorrow. So if you're in a relationship and it's not helping you develop and grow, and you walking around moping and sad, and you looking at other people that are laughing and happy in their marriages and relationships, you might want to go back to the altar and lay before God and find out what the problem is. And when the Spirit tell you the problem is you, accept that. I had to accept. I had to accept mine. When God said, "Look, listen," when God began to tell me, "I'm getting ready to deal with you, not them. I'm getting ready to deal with you." My first response was, "No, I'll deal with them, because they're the problem." And God said, "No, you the problem." And I had a flat out, I had a whole 10-minute debate with God about it. Until I finally realized, like, oh, I ain't going to win this in the end, because he created me.
Right.
I created the version of me that I want to see. And that's what we do. We create the version of ourselves that we want to see and show to other people instead of being who God really called us to be. If it makes you a square, be a square. If it makes you a circle, be a circle. But he made you that way for a specific reason. And so if he made you a moth, don't try to be the butterfly, because the moth can do things a butterfly couldn't. So what if the visual of other people and what they see is not what they like? It's not for them to necessarily like you for what they see. They need to like you for who you are. So once we get out of images and get into spiritual realities and be like, you know what, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, no matter what I look like on the outside. This business relationship is going to prosper. This romantic relationship is going to prosper, because not only are we romantically interested in each other, physically speaking, but we are spiritually romanticizing each other because we're speaking life into one another. I can romance you in the spirit by speaking life to you just as well as I can romance you in the physical sense, however that may appear to that person, touch, whatever it may be. But if I'm going to do it the way God say do it, I got to speak life into that partner, that partnership, that friendship, to, in order for it to grow. One man planteth, another man water, but what? It is God who gives the increase. If we all do our parts in all different types of relationship and not try to outdo one another or think one is better than the other, you know what I'm saying? And if we begin to take what each other is saying and not take it as punishment, or they trying to correct me or whatever the case may be, because the enemy plays a lot of games with words.
Yeah.
And a lot of marriages and relationships ended that were supposed to stay together because they listened to the devil versus listening to the spirit. I'm done.
Hallelujah. Wow. Well, I tell you what, this has been, I think, a great conversation. It's, like I said, it's off the beaten path, you know, on processing the pain. Normally we do a little different, but this has been great. I think this has been great. This is not the stuff that people, this is not church as usual. Hallelujah. It's not church as usual. We're talking, you know, we're talking about some real life stuff, things that people are going through, things that people are wondering. You know, there's a lot of, like Ronald said, there's a lot of singles out there that's going through, and I'm talking about Christian singles that's out there that's, you know, believing God for their mate, believing God for their covering, believing God, you know. And I just did a message a few weeks ago called Infatuated by the Curse. And I came from Genesis 3, and I wanted women to understand, because these single women who are truly desiring, and they can't understand why they just feel so, you know, oh my gosh, I want a husband. And they feeling alone and isolated and hopeless and all these things. But that's because they're infatuated by the curse, because Genesis 3 tells us, you know, God tells us that because we were hard-headed, because we didn't follow the rules, that he would make our women, we were going to have pain and childbearing, which tells me that there wasn't going to be pain before, and that he was going to have, our desires would be for our husband. So he said that was a curse. So if he gave us that curse, I mean, prior to then, that wasn't the case. And so, you know, so I just caught on that, and now we're talking about this, and I just think that it's good information to know, because these are the things that's not being talked about. They're really not. These are not, I mean, Apostle, you connected, you've been in church, you know, and all your life. But, you know, so we got to start talking about this stuff. Why? Because people need to be prepared. People need to be conscious. People need to know, you know, we need to dig deeper. You know, we can't just keep rushing to get married because because we're believers. We rushing to get married and rushing to have a relationship and rushing to start, you know, businesses with people that ain't even on the same page. Don't you know that the same equally yoke that it talks about in marriage, you know, is the same equally yoke you got to be when you get a business partner? You can't just go out there and start business with anybody and everybody.
That scripture about being equally yoked did not apply to marriage. That was interpreted.
Right.
The scripture
right.
says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. An unbeliever could be your business partner that don't believe in you. They believe in themselves because maybe they went to school and got the education where you got your education from just experience. But they don't believe in you because you didn't go to college. But you got just as much knowledge as they do from what you learn on the jobs to step out. So when they people say, oh, we unequally yoked. No, y'all not unequally yoked. Y'all just equally stubborn. Nobody wants to be in. Nobody wants to give in. Everybody want to be macho, male and female. And then y'all end up in divorce court because you say irreconcilable difference. No, you end up in divorce court because you was too lazy to work on the relationship. And the devil made it easy to get out of them by saying, oh, it's just irreconcilable difference. We've already divided everything amongst ourselves. So what that tells me is y'all can still agree because y'all agreed to divide everything up where ain't nobody got to go to court to sue the other person for something. But y'all couldn't reconcile the whole marriage. See how the enemy play little tricks?
Yeah, little.
Well, y'all came into a covenant agreement with dividing the stuff up. Y'all came into a divine agreement. Wasn't no arguing about it. Oh, you want this? Okay, you can have that. Oh, I take this. Okay, cool. What we going to do about the kids? Well, you get them on every other weekend. Okay, that's cool, too. Let's do that. Let's put that in there. So when you go to court, we got irreconcilable differences, but y'all reconcile everything that's going to lead to the divorce. Y'all ain't in front of the judge arguing. Y'all wait on the judge and say, okay, so-and-so, I hear that by decree that y'all are no longer married. So-and-so can retain their maiden name. Or so-and-so can retain the married name for the sake of the children that y'all had in the union. And the enemy sit back and laugh at us all. Because I got to say it like this, and I'm being in ministry, it applies to me too. You are a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself, and you are up in divorce court because you and your wife can't get along, but you can tell everybody else how to stay married.
Mm.
But never follow your own advice.
Jesus.
Never apply it to yourself. And then you mad at the folks that you canceled and stayed married while you got divorced. I know firsthand because I was one of them people. I was angry as heck at some people. Like, man, they still married them. I ain't got no wife. I couldn't keep a wife. Well, for one, I was marrying some of the wrong people that God told me not to, but because I thought my plan was better, I ran with it. So then I suffered. They suffered. Now it caused people... Honest to God, true. I'm not ashamed to tell it. I caused a couple of wives that I was married to not even to like church anymore because of who I was, and I wasn't acting like who I was called to be.
Thank you,
I was operating in flesh. I was operating in flesh so tough and selfishness so tough, and then using scripture to manipulate the situation until God exposed me.
Hey,
and then when
you
I was exposed,
guess what?
Pain.
We all have something. You know what I'm saying? And when we, and the good thing about it is when we could be transparent to understand what it is that we're, you know, those areas of constraint, and we could acknowledge, yep. You know what, I blew it. You know what, I'm weak in this area. You know what, I'm do. And we got to be honest, because God, he don't, this is the thing with God and what I'm learning, and even my spiritual mentors, you know, we'll go through life, you know, situations, let me say situations, and, you know, we won't never say anything. We just going through them, and we, you know, God knows everything, but it's okay to let God know you're afraid. It's okay to let God know that you don't know what you're doing. It's okay to let God, it's, he already knows this, but, you know, he knows it because he's omnipresent. I mean, he knows everything. But the thing about it is he said he wants a relationship with us. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants us to be friends. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to talk to him, you know. And sometimes I think we get so super-duper religious. Well, he already know. I don't have to say that. No, but just like we're having conversations tonight, just like we're having conversations with our children, our family, he wants us to have those kind of conversations with him. He does. And so I notice that when I'm going through certain things in my life, I have a tendency to, my first reaction is normally that I want to try to do, fix it myself. I'm gonna work it out myself. And then after I get frustrated and agitated and hit brick walls because I can't work it out myself, and I don't want to keep doing that. I'm learning how to just go to God first, but it's natural instinct to want to fix it myself. That's just who I am. And then once I get frustrated, then I finally could go to him and say, you know what, God, I'm scared. God, you know, I don't know where this, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know, Lord. And then generally when I do that, that's when the whole, when the, there's a paradigm shift. That's when things start to change. Situations, circumstances begin to change. And so, anyway, we done got beyond our hour. I want to give the audience one more opportunity. If not, so be it. I can't beg y'all. But I just got a feeling in my spirit that there's people that sit near, that things are going through their mind. I hear questions. I hear people that got comments. One of the comments, I'm getting chat comments, and one of the comments was with the person who had did an essay about moths. I just learned something tonight. You know, not all moths are ugly. Guess what? I think butterflies are the deception, because moths have colors. And these pictures that this person just sent me, who did the essay on moths, these are all moths, but they are vibrant in color. They're various colors. So I think what it is that we have an illusion that everything we see that's beautiful, that got, oh, Jesus, that got color, everything that we see that got, that's beautiful, that got color, we think is a butterfly. But, honey, this was a perfect way to end tonight's message. Every moth is not brown. Oh, Jesus, every moth is not brown. Every moth is not gray. Every moth is not ugly. But there are moths that have color. There is moths that's vibrant. And so sometimes you'll miss your blessing. Sometimes you'll miss your blessing because you stuck on what you see visually. Ooh, you'll miss your blessing on what you see visually. And I believe if nothing you got tonight other than the fact of this, I believe that God wants you all to know on tonight, give little accreditation to what you see. Because it's one thing to see something, and it's another thing that you saw it. It's one thing to see something, it's another thing that you saw it. So in other words, don't get so much on what you see visually. Get in tune with your spirit, man. Get in tune with the God in you. And allow the God in you to lead you. Allow the God in you to give you a spiritual vision, not not a natural vision, because natural vision is deceptive. We just did a whole hour show about that brown, gray, bulky, ugly-looking moth. And guess what? All the time while we're doing this show on the moth that we all know about, come to find that oftentimes we mistake butterflies. We mistake the moth for butterflies. Man of God, you want to take us out in prayer?
Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus, we thank you for this time, space, and opportunity to come together to have this discussion. We thank you for your Holy Spirit being present in all of the rooms that are represented on this line. Father, we thank you for those who had questions but did not ask them. We pray right now, Father, that you will speak to them through your Holy Spirit. Send the angels to minister to them and bring them comfort where there may be discomfort. Father, we thank you for giving us a platform to be able to discuss these type of things that the church buildings and ministers are not discussing for fear of losing memberships or money. God, we thank you that I thank you for the rebellious spirit that you have given unto me when it comes to ministry and not being afraid to speak out and being labeled as such a rebellion and a hellion. But I thank you for the boldness to speak those things to the people so that revelation can be had and that people can develop and grow and become everything that you required and called them to be. I thank you for Coach D and this platform and all the things that you are doing for her. Father, continue to strengthen her, give her wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the word, because she is before your people, giving them encouragement and giving them the word. And all the guests that comes on this show, Father, we pray that they speak only the oracles of you, that they do not put personal feelings into it, Father, that they speak only the oracles of you like you told Jeremiah to speak. They speak what I give you to speak and nothing more, nothing less. Father, we thank you right now. And as we leave this line, Father, we pray that your spirit dwells in us forevermore. We pray that your spirit reveals who we are and not who somebody else is first. Let it reveal unto us the areas of improvement. Let it reveal unto us the ugly truths that we will not face about ourselves so that we may grow, and that when you decide to say, hey, there he is, there she is, there that is, we will be ready to accept it for what it is, who it is, and how it is, because you created it to be so. It is in your son Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Apostle, stay on. Well, I want to thank each and every person for tuning in to this night's episode of Processing the Pain. I believe there was some rich content. Hopefully, if it did nothing else, hopefully it's provoked you to thought, that you're giving some thought to some of the things that were shared on tonight. We are going to continue each Thursday night. If this is your first time visiting, we are here every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and, of course, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Same place, same time, different content. So every second and fourth Thursday, we have special guests. And then on first and third Thursday, yours truly, Coach Dre, bring forth a word. So I want to thank you again for tuning in. You all know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Good night.
All right.